South Lake. I am excited about this message this morning. We are going to jump right into Scripture. So would you please open your Bibles to Matthew 26, verse 36. We are in a series called How To, and this morning we're going to be looking at how to pray like Jesus. When we come to this part of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has retreated to the garden. And he's going to enter into prayer, and we're going to read that prayer here in a second. But I want you to understand the context in which this prayer is taking place. You see, Christ knows that he's going to be crucified. He knows the judgment that is coming. And we have to understand that before we read the prayer, because that'll factor in how we interpret it. So if you would join me in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little bit beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again, and he went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." This is the word of our Lord. Perhaps the greatest prayer ever prayed. It teaches us so much if we understand where it comes from. Jesus knows he's going to be crucified. And he says this prayer. In his darkest hour, look at what he does. He could have fled the city. Let us be real for a second. This is the ancient world. There is no video cameras on every corner. There's no surveillance teams. Nobody watching out. This is the ancient world. At night, it gets dark. He could have very easily walked out of the city, slipped away, and disappeared. But he doesn't. Instead, he retreats to the garden, to a quiet place, to pray. And what does he do? He submits to the will of God. Jesus knows what must be done, and he chooses to follow the Father's will. In order to get through this, he enters into prayer, into commune with the Father. When we enter difficult times, trying times, times that will test us, that will challenge our faith, that feels like our heart is being ripped in half, Where do we go? Where do we retreat to? Do we go to the Father? Or do we go somewhere else? What Christ is telling us is that we need to pray. So we're going to study this passage because it tells us so much about prayer, and I want to make sure you understand this isn't the only way to pray, so don't misinterpret this sermon. This is a way to pray, but through this passage we are going to learn so very much. So let us take a look at the text. I first want you to see that Jesus prayed alone. If we look at verse 39, look at how that begins. And he went a little beyond them, meaning Christ left the disciples. He intentionally got away alone. When we study Scripture, you're going to see that this is repeated in Jesus' life. Oftentimes, he will go off by himself. He'll go to a mountaintop, to a boat, to somewhere where there's not people around him and find quiet time. You will see this especially when Christ is facing the most crucial times in his life. Here's what's important to understand. What I'm saying here is that we need those times alone with our Father. Now, time and again, Scripture says, pray with your brothers and sisters. Be with them. And we do that. And that is essential to life of Christianity as a family, that we come together and we pray for one another. We do that corporately every Sunday. We do that in different times. We will pray with one another. And we need to continue doing that. If you have a spouse, you pray with your spouse. If you have children, you pray with your children. You teach them. You build them up. All that, yes, is necessary. Don't stop doing that. What I'm saying is each and every day, you have to find a time alone with God. Your faith is yours and yours alone. Maggie and I both love our Savior, Jesus Christ, but our faith is ours. Her faith is not mine, nor is mine hers. You must have that time with your Father, an intimate time to build up that relationship, so you must pray alone. Listen to the words of Matthew 6, verse 6. It says, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room. In other words, go somewhere quiet, somewhere private. Close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. An intimacy with the Father is so very, very important. And notice what Jesus does in his most darkest hour. Who he retreats to, the Father. So we have to learn that we need time alone every day to pray. In this passage, Jesus also teaches us to pray with humility. In verse 39, it says, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed. You see that? That's humble, right? He's falling on his face. Now, sometimes in our Western culture, that gets lost. We don't do that, right? When we pray, we don't often get down on our knees and on our face and pray. But what do we do? It's not uncommon in our culture that we bow our head, we close our eyes, we cross our hands. It's a sign of humility. Christ is teaching us that. Christ was humble. His life, his birth, and his death on the cross exemplify this. We must humble ourselves before God as we pray each and every day. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." You hear the conditional statement there? Then? It's an if-then statement. If you humble yourselves, you are children of God. He is the Almighty. He knows all. When we enter into prayer, we need to humble ourselves. That's not just in a physical posture, but it's also mental. Let's get rid of the pride. Let's get rid of the shame, the guilt that is there. Let's give it to God. He already knows all about it. So humble yourselves before the Father and release all of that. So when Jesus is showing us this, it isn't just that it's a physical position of humility. It is mental and it is spiritual, that we are to have a humble spirit before the Father. So pray with humility. Christ is also teaching us to pray earnestly. We're going to exit out of Matthew very briefly here, and we're going to jump to Luke. This narrative of Jesus in the garden is recorded in the Gospels, and I love Luke. Luke catches all the fine little details. He adds a depth and dimension to Scripture. And so when we jump to Luke 22, verse 44, it will say this: "And being in agony, he," referring to Jesus, "was praying very fervently, very earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground." Don't you love Luke? He catches that minor detail. I would argue that's not a minor detail. That's pretty big. He is praying so earnestly, so intensely, that he begins sweating blood. Is that just allegorical, metaphorical? Or do we believe it? Think about what he was doing. Jesus was experiencing the greatest struggle of his life. The hope and life of the world was at stake. Let me say that again. The hope and the life of the world was at stake. Let me ask you, if you had that responsibility on your shoulders, and if you found yourself praying before the Father, do you think it's unrealistic that under that amount of stress and agony that you might actually sweat blood? It's an actual medical condition. It's incredibly rare. And guess how it comes about? It's induced by stress. Science has proven what Scripture has told us for 2,000 years. Thanks for catching up, science. So Christ is praying with an intensity, and he's teaching us something in this moment. I want you to hear from somewhere else in Scripture another example of this. When I counsel people, I will often refer to the psalm for a very specific reason. We're going to jump to Psalm 13. This is an excellent psalm to understand this type of prayer. I want you to hear what the psalmist says here. Beginning in verse 1. "How long, O Lord, will you forgive me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all of the day? how long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is one of the most real prayers I believe there is in Scripture. This is a very human prayer. Do you hear the psalmist? What he's actually saying, he is being humble and he's being earnest and he's praying with an intensity and he's saying, God, hello, have you forgotten about me? I am suffering here. I'm getting beat up at every corner. Those that hate me are just beating me to death. Where are you? Church, I want you to hear that because sometimes in some circles we develop this mentality that, oh, I can't say that to God. He already knows it. Release it from your heart. Let him hear your heart, how much it hurts, how much you're afraid, how anxious you are. How terrified you are. But the psalmist does something important that we cannot forget. That magic word, but. He cries out in agony, but he returns when he says, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in you. He comes back to God. He says, despite everything that is happening to me. Despite not being able to see an outcome, not being able to see a healing, not being able to see the future, all I know is pain and death and agony all around me. Despite that, I trust in you. Christ prayed with earnesty to the point that drops of blood fell as he prayed. Jesus also teaches us to pray persistently. I love verse 44. And it says here, and he left them again. Again. Not once, not twice, but a third time. And he went away and prayed a third time. Jesus did not stop short. He kept praying until he was assured of victory. I often say, the bigger the problem, the more prayer that ought to go up for it. We should pray and pray and pray when we enter into such times of crisis that challenge us. We need to take our burdens before the Lord until we are assured that he has heard them, church. I love what Paul says in Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Did you hear what Paul just said? He starts out saying you need to be thankful in prayer. Did you hear where he was writing it from? In prison. Paul, the great apostle, is in prison. And what is he teaching the church? Be thankful. Do you have that kind of faith, brothers and sisters? When you are that desperate, when you are in that kind of a situation, that when there is no hope, when you are literally in prison, and you can say, be thankful. Why could Paul say that? Because he prayed constantly. He was in commune with the Father, the source of hope and love. When you are connected to God, it's like being hotwired to a 220 circuit. You got all the power in the world. You don't have to worry about power surges, anything like that. It's being like hardwired. You're going to get through. Sure, there's going to be struggles. Sure, there's going to be tough times. But that doesn't mean you have to fear them or give up your faith. Continue to pray to God. Pray persistently. And lastly, Jesus teaches us to pray with submission. In verse 42, he says this. He went away. Jesus went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Jesus resigned himself to the Father's will. Church, sometimes this gets lost on us because we're 2,000 years removed from the event. So let me remind you what's really going on at this time. The Roman Empire was conquering the known world. They were a force to be reckoned with. In their cities, there's oftentimes a main road that went into the city. At that road, they would put a crucifix up and put all the criminals against the state. In other words, those that oppose Rome, they would crucify on those roads leading into the main part of the city. It was a statement, don't mess with us. We are the ones in power. Make no mistake about it. This was common practice. Jesus knew this. Everyone in the empire knew it. This wasn't hidden. So when Jesus retreats to the garden, he knows exactly what's coming. He knows the brutality of it. He understands the agony of it. And what does he say? Your will be done, Father. Jesus, the God-man, fully God, fully man. Make no mistake, he suffered physically on the cross, horribly. Died an excruciating, miserable, unimaginable death. And he did it in submission to the Father. Now here's the great news, church. God won't call you to that. That price has been paid. You don't have to worry about that. But we do have to be in submission to our Father. Listen to the words of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, brothers and sisters of South Lake, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What is the will of God? To call this world to Christ. We all have different talents. As I look out and see all of you, all your beautiful faces, so many different talents, so many different skill sets. God made you uniquely, beautifully, for a purpose. Whatever your gift is, whatever your talents and skills are, they were given to you so you can exemplify the Lord. In some way, you are being called to show who He is, who your Lord and Savior is. You are to demonstrate that to the world. Understand this, church. This world is going to get crazier. The coming year, I believe, is going to test the church. Where are you going to stand? Are you going to stand with the world? Or are you going to stand in faith, saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior? I'm not ashamed of that. I will proclaim that to my very last breath. And if you're willing to sit down and talk with me, I'll explain why you need to say that too. Because I love you. And I want to spend an eternity with you. That's one way that we share the gospel. That's one way that we are in submission to God. So, church, what is Jesus telling us in this passage? These 5 points are very simple. Number one, find time alone every day and pray to God. Develop a close, personal, intimate relationship with your Father each and every day. Number two, pray with humility. Lay it before God. Lay it down. Be humble. And with that, number three, pray earnestly. Pray with an intensity when it is such a time that your faith is shaken, distraught, being ripped in half. Pray with an earnesty that is worthy of God's ear. Number four, pray with persistence. Pray, pray, pray again. And when you get tired of praying, pray a prayer of how to not being tired of praying. Never cease prayer. Never. Church, every day that I am here, I walk this property and I pray for you. I pray for this church, that God's will be done here. Will you join me in that prayer? Will you join me in that journey? Pray with me every day. And lastly, number five, pray in submission to God. He is our Father and He is in control. Trust in Him. I want to end with a quote from D.L. Moody. Such a simple quote. He says, "We talk about heaven being so far away. It is within speaking distance to those who belong there." Love how Moody has a way with words. Heaven is not a distant place. It is ever present. God hears your prayers. Church, learn to pray like Jesus. With that, let us enter into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you humble in submission. We wish to give you thanks for the gift of your Son, that in his darkest hour, he still was teaching us something. Father, I pray for everyone that hears the sound of my voice, that they would develop an incredible, intense, passionate prayer life with you, that they seek your face each and every day, that they seek to do your will. Father, would you place it upon the hearts of those that pray to you? Draw them closer to you. Grow their faith. Test them. Challenge them. So their faith is robust and strong. And through it, they fall madly in love with you. They trust you as a father, as a son and a daughter would trust a father. Father, we pray for this church. Let she be a beacon of light, of hope, of love to this region. That as this world goes crazy, that she stand here strong as an example of faith, a testimony to those who do not know you. That she call to those and offer up hope. Father, help us be that church. We love you and we give thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you hold your hands out like this? Brothers and sisters, our Savior, in his darkest hour, still remained to teach us, still wanting to reach out and show us how to pray. Let this be an example to you. Each and every day, pray to your Heavenly Father. Pray boldly. Pray to the Father who loves you beyond your comprehension, who will never stop loving you. Give your sins to Him. Repent. Ask for forgiveness, knowing that they will be erased, never to be spoken again. Trust in Him. Go forth this week in love and power and boldness and never cease praying to your Father who loves you eternally. Church, hug somebody, tell them you love them. See you next week.